Hi, Earthlings. Just stellar this week as Isla finishes up her masters on Kauri Thaibak. Wish her the best of luck, not that she needs it. This episode, we bring you an interview with Sarah Riley, Professor of Critical Health Psychology at Massey University, about her research into menstruation app and exploring much wider user experiences in an in-depth way. So ultimately, it will aim to produce an art-based product, a story-led menstruation tracking app rather than an actual tracking app, as well as explore what might be possible for relationships between bodies and technology for anyone that doesn't feel like they fit into the traditional experience. That could be in a myriad of ways, either through gender identity, whether they don't want to use it to track potential pregnancies, or anything that doesn't fit into the prototype that people are experiencing right now. So she started by outlining that prototypical experience of menstruation tracking apps and the user experience right now.
They are targeting different users and users' needs. So like a really obvious one would be whether you're on contraception or not. There isn't one prototypical user experience, but why it's interesting to think about it that way is that there's only a few that are really well used, and then there's lots of ones that are not used very well. And so what we're seeing is lots of apps copying the big three. And so even though there looks like there's a lot of choice, quite similar ideas about bodies that menstruate are being circulated within this technology. And that's what we're really interested in, or wanting to kind of position our project in that kind of context. And that experience is that regular menstruation, so the bleeds that are timely, regular, are, and I'm putting this in inverted commas, quote, normal and regular, and that's kind of the desirable body. And that within that, a controlled body, one that you can predict when you're going to bleed and so that you can manage yourself, one you can fit in your social life and your work life, and one where there's an expectation that you are working, that you are healthy bodied, an able bodied, that you are probably in some kind of affluent level of consumer culture, and that you're tracking to fertility. The other reason why I wanted to do this project was because a lot of analysis of these apps that come from, say, feminist analysis or people looking at feminist-informed technology, or sociological analyses, an area of research which is about, do they actually work? And that's from the health literature, and who is inputting into them in terms of health information. And the answer is they don't work as well as you think they might, and quite often they don't have medical professional input in them. So that's one area of concern. The other area of concern from the sociological and feminist and technological feminist research is how regulatory they are. So, you know, if you start to think that, you know, a normal, healthy, ideal body has a regular period and you don't, then that could be quite distressing. Is the research on the people that use them is often they absolutely love them. And so there's this really interesting juxtaposition between different people's perspectives on the experience of using them. And at the moment, what happens when you really love them is if they're helping you do something that you need. So if you want to feel good about being normal, if you want to feel like you're in control of your body, if you want, you know, those kinds of things, which on the surface sound great, and I'm not dissing those, then the experience is great. There is also, we've just been doing some research with women that enjoy using them who have PMS, and their experience, and this is women who identify as enjoying using them, so we've deliberately chosen that group, they also absolutely love them. And what was really interesting about them was not only did they get a sense of empowerment through understanding their bodies better, you know, the literal, the biomechanics of it all, but they also were, through the app, invited to really appreciate their bodies and love their bodies. Amazing talk about how much it made them look forward to their menstrual time, you know, their bleeds, even though they might be painful, even though they might, you know, have emotional turmoil with them. They understood it as part of a beautiful thing that was happening within their bodies. But there's also people who fit the prototypical user experience and don't get those experiences. The obvious one being, for example, if you try to get pregnant and don't get pregnant. You know, that could be absolutely devastating, especially if the expectation is that the machine will allow you to predict and control your fertility. And there's also other ways in which that they can be quite undermining, even for people that, you know, fit that prototypical user. You know, if your menstrual cycle changes and you shift from the category of regular to irregular, that can be quite distressing. So there can be a lot of worry and anxiety.
So what's the advantage of using a story-based approach for the development of these apps rather than the norm that we're dealing with right now?
This is the first stage of some research that might lead to future research where we have a kind of translatable outcome into a new kind of app. But what we're looking for at the moment with the story app is to use story as a way to explore ideas and share those ideas in an accessible way. So in a previous project, we were called Writing New Bodies. We were looking at body image challenges. And we're working with a woman who creates digital fiction. So these are online stories that that you play. So they kind of play, they call them reader players. You become a reader player, you work through the story, you choose different options. And actually the storyline can change quite a lot depending on your choices. And so we're using that to expand people's repertoires or ways of thinking in this project about how would you deal with some of the challenges that people face, body image challenges they face. And it's a kind of safe way to do it because you can play other people making those decisions and explore what happens to them. And so we're using that idea for this project about menstruation tracking apps, because what we're saying is that at the moment there's a very narrow storyline of narrative about what makes good bodies, good menstruating bodies. You know, they're fertile, they're regular, they're aged between 20 and 30, they're affluent, they're white, they're heterosexual, etc. So what happens if we can create those kinds of digital fiction stories that just expand those narratives about what's possible for menstruating bodies and their relationships with technology? So the idea would be that we can really use the digital stories. It will allow you to play different people's narratives and experiences. The aim of that is to really widen the discussion that's happening and imagine more affirmative and inclusive ways in which technology could support people who are menstruating and what they want and need out of it.
And on that note, I suppose it's kind of implicit in the fact that you have to do this research and create a new narrative, but do those who menstruate and have a diverse gender identity experience kind of a disadvantage by not being able to track an aspect of their health in a gender neutral way?
But I'm not familiar with any research yet on those experiences, but my first answer would be yes. And one of the reasons would be, so for example, the study I mentioned before about the women that were using period tracking apps to manage their PMS, one of the reasons why they found those apps so useful and so affirmative was it gave them a new understanding of their bodies as women's bodies that were absolutely amazing. So this was super affirmative for them in a context where most of the time they're told that, you know, menstruation's got a huge stigma, PMS has a huge stigma, you know, every kind of cultural meme about PMS is of a monstrous female. So against that background, to be told that your woman's body is beautiful and amazing and awe-inspiring was really affirmative for them. But that's because they identified as women. So you can imagine that, you know, having an app, everyday language banging on about being a woman when you don't feel that you're a woman, has got to be anything but harmful, really, hasn't it? So yes, I think that the app is normative in the sense that it creates a very narrow norm about what's good and valuable, and that's harmful for everybody that's not in that norm. So we're hoping we'll start the project probably July 2023, and so we're looking at three groups of users that don't get much attention in research. So young people who are 16 to 18, so we want to look at that kind of early experience of use of these technologies. People have had a baby within the last year, so obviously babies can really interrupt menstrual cycle. So what's that like when you're kind of going back to your old self that may or may not be your old self? We're really interested in those experiences. And then our third group are people coming in perimenopause, you know, who are going towards menopause. There's some apps specifically designed to facilitate that, and we're super interested, and gender diverse people around that menopause space. So if any of that is resonating with anybody, they could look me up and I can reach out to them when the project starts to see if they'd be interested in participating.
That was Sarah Riley, Professor of Critical Health Psychology at Massey University, about her research on menstruation apps and exploring much wider user experiences in an in-depth way. We'll see you next time, and stay curious, Earthlings.